Blog Talk Radio.
This is James Dick with North Florida Writer Live, and no, we didn't leave the dogs out. Last night, any of you that listened to my show, we talked about dogs and what a loving gift they are from God for those of us that own them. They are an American tradition. But tonight, we're not talking about dogs in that sense, but our guest is from Georgia, home of the Georgia Bulldogs. So I guess in a sense, the dogs are going to come out again tonight. Folks, tonight we're going to talk about education. We're going to get an update from Meg Norris, who's the leader of Opt Out Georgia. She's a very busy lady. She's high energy, a great teacher, and she presents herself well in terms of explaining this horrible disaster that we have on our hands known as Common Core. And it doesn't matter whether you live in Georgia or anywhere in the United States. It's a problem that you're faced with if you have children in school, particularly in public school. And it's really a mess. And Meg is one of those people who is really trying to do whatever she can to put a little common sense, as well as a little good teaching, back into the education process, which has been so turned upside down by the federal government, state government, private businesses that are in that business. It's just a royal mess. So real quickly, let's take a look at the pictures that I have up tonight, and then we will welcome Meg to the show. First, Common Core protesters. They do gather at various places around the country when there are meetings about Common Core, and they're making some good progress in some places, but it's slow, it's tough. When you're dealing with a legislative process, and you're dealing with legislators that, hate to say it, but that are basically bought off by lobbyists who represent private educational companies, as well as government bureaucrats that make their living by pushing this stuff, it becomes a problem. Next shows the old one-room schoolhouse, which was the way things were when America was founded. You know, in a rural community, you might have 15 or 20 kids. You couldn't have elementary school, middle school, high school, all that stuff. You had one room with everybody in it, and a teacher had to be skillful enough to be able to deal with all those different age brackets and still teach them something that they needed to survive in life. Boy, how far in so many ways we've fallen today with the way we've changed our approach to things. And then there's a modern high school. Big modern building, spent a lot of money on it. The problem is, what's going on inside? That's what we're worried about. Then there's a typical elementary classroom. A picture that just says taxes, because, folks, we put a lot of our money into taxes. And it's amazing that so many of us don't demand a lot more for our money in terms of really having well-rounded kids coming out that are capable of going to work and getting a job and supporting themselves. Instead, we've once again got a huge mess on our hands, and it's not a real good thing. Next, the Georgia is the Peach State, and our guest tonight is a peach of a teacher, Meg Norris, and she'll be with us in just a second. I have fond memories of Georgia. I did a lot of my training in the Army in Georgia on both sides. I was in Fort Benning, and then I was in over in Augusta at Fort Gordon. So I know Georgia pretty well, plus my sister went to college in Georgia. So I have very fond memories about it, even if I do now live down in Florida, which is, of course, the home of the Gators, and I'm sure that my friends in the Gainesville area probably aren't very happy with my introductory music, but oh well, that's showbiz. And lastly is the cross, the Bible, and the flag, which represents the fact that the United States of America was founded as a country under God, and I hope we'll always stay that way. Now, before we welcome Meg, I'm going to ask that you welcome her, and then I'm going to bring her right on the air in just a second. So let's give a big round of applause for Meg Norris as she comes on. Well, hello, Meg. Are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine. Hey, they love you and they haven't even heard you yet. But maybe there's the same people that have been listening before.
I've never heard so much applause. That was fantastic. Thank you. You cracked me up.
Well, you sure didn't get it at the state legislature, I'm sure. But anyway.
No, I'm probably not very popular down there right now. But, we pushed and pushed, and I had an amazing team, and we got a little bit of progress through the House and the Senate, and it is right now sitting on our governor's desk waiting for him to sign it. And
okay.
Let me tell all of your listeners, it's absolutely possible for a regular person to stand up and make some change. This bill that we got through was started by myself, a Georgia mom, Stacey Georgie, and a senator who was willing to sit down and listen. And that's all it took.
Well, funny you should say that, because as you know, I've been involved with dealing with state government down here in Florida on a different issue. But it's really tough, and, it takes a lot of courage, because you go up there, and they schedule things at crazy hours because they really want to keep you off guard. They wait till the last minute to tell you when it's coming up so that you can actually get there, and it's hard to mobilize people. But what I want you to do tonight is kind of walk us through from the start of this process on this session of the Georgia legislature. Tell me, how you got things moving, and I just take a free run at it. I want our audience to hear what you've been through, because so many Americans just sit back and, they get comfortable in their own little home, but they don't realize what's going on out there. And of course, if they have children, their kids are at stake, because all of these state legislatures are just, they have a tendency to just go in line with the lobbyists, because they lay it all out for them and make it real easy. And if they can get away with it,
absolutely,
they probably will. So just kind of walk us through
make it very
what's
easy.
Been going on. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you, I'm beyond worried. We have turned education into nothing but testing now. We are so obsessed with the test that we are no longer focusing on creativity and thinking and innovation and all of the things that make and have made the U.S. great for so many years. When you think about all of the greatest discoveries and the greatest inventions that have come from the U.S., they all came from the public system that we had. That public system now is gone. And any parent who believes that their child is in the same system that they went through is terribly wrong. We are really doing serious damage to our kids. And last year, during the Georgia testing season, as we call it, which is usually the month of April, a little bit into May, we kept track of how many kids in the state were bullied by the school systems, by their teachers, by their administrators, into and over testing, because we were encouraging parents to stand up and say no. We were encouraging parents to refuse the tests, to opt out of the tests, and we kept track. We kept a spreadsheet of how many of these kids were hurt because their parents were standing up and saying enough. We asked the state Board of Ed to do something about it. They promised that they would. We got absolutely no action from them. Not surprising.
Right.
We got no action from Richard Woods, who is our state school superintendent who got into office on the promise of getting rid of Common Core. So we, Stacy Georgie, who is a mom in a county just outside of Atlanta, and I sat down with Senator Ligon, who is a senator out of the Brunswick area in Georgia, not too far from you. And
right.
He said, we told him what was happening. We showed him this spreadsheet, and he said, you know what? Let's do it. He said, we're going to call it the Student Teacher Protection Act. And that's what we did for the next 4 months, many, many hours on the phone with his aides and his team. We put together a 16-page bill that was so well researched that we literally were able to cite it line by line. I mean, we had research to back up every single thing we had put in that bill, and it hit the legislature in February, and everyone freaked out. No one knew where this bill had come from. There were no lobbyists attached to it. There was no money attached to it. There was no indication of the fact that it was even coming. No one knew about it. And the papers got a hold of it, which was wonderful. And we started gaining support, and that was really a terrific experience. I tell people right now that I would have 1,000 babies before I would push another bill through the legislature. It was probably the most difficult 3 months of my life. Stacy and I went into this the best of friends, and boy, we came out at each other's throats. But it was certainly worth it. And once we were able to continue to step back and say, look, this is for the kids. This is for the kids. This is for the kids. And we were able to keep our focus, and we got it through the Senate. All but 9 senators voted in support of it.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
We got it through the House on the very, very last day of the session, at almost the very, very last minute. and it was voted through the House unanimously. It changed form dramatically from the beginning, obviously, as they always do.
Sure.
It actually survived 7 different committee votes through the process. I was extremely lucky. As a matter of fact, I'm actually calling you right now from my car, because I am at a fundraiser for the little private school where I teach. But this private school, Wildwood Christian Academy up in the North Georgia Mountains, was so incredibly supportive of what I was doing and what I was trying to do. I was even able to take my students with me many times to the Senate, so they could sit and they could watch the process. They learned very, very quickly that, one, none of them were going to be politicians. So I figured that I counted that as a win. And the other thing they learned very quickly was that Schoolhouse Rock may sing about the process of putting a bill through, but it was a whole lot different doing it in person.
Oh, absolutely. The old tradition of how a bill becomes a law is a joke now. None of that applies.
It really is.
It's sad but true. And, of course, I'm an old, poli-sci major, and I worked in Washington, for a while on the Hill while I was in school. And it's even back then it was a disaster, but now it's on steroids. I mean, these lobbying organizations basically own the legislators. They buy them, and those guys basically, they go to work, and when they come in on Monday morning, it's on their desk. This is what you're told to do today, and they just go through the motions. And the only way they do anything
you
to
have,
go through the motions,
yeah.
Somebody
you
like
have
you,
lobbyists.
It takes somebody coming in. Yep.
Yeah, well, it does. It was not easy. It was not easy. Everyone wanted to know who we were working for and who was paying us and what was the money behind us. And when we said that no one, we're a teacher and a mom, and we're pissed off. And that was all it took. And the legislators actually listened and were very respectful, actually, that two people, I mean, we laugh and we say, you know what, we're going to write a book about this experience, and we're going to call it A Mom, a Teacher, and a Senator Walk into a Bar, because that's exactly how this bill started.
That's pretty good.
We sat down in a restaurant together, and that's exactly how this process started. And I encourage anyone who wants to step up and try it to absolutely do it. There is no reason that in America the average Joe can't. Now, we had a lot of help. There's no doubt about that. But there is no reason that you cannot get a bill through without lobby money. And we did it. And it's sitting on the governor's desk right now.
So what do you think the governor's going to do?
Go ahead. We're hearing both sides. We're hearing that he's going to veto it. We're also hearing that he's not. So we really don't know. Our hands are kind of tied right now. There's not a whole lot we can do.
No, you're in limbo.
It is not a broad opt-out bill. It was a bill that it started as a broad opt-out bill, but we knew we weren't going to be able to get that through at all. But it is a bill that focuses on the kids who are being most heavily affected by the massive amounts of testing. Right now, Georgia tests their kids three times more than the federal government requires, which is absolutely ridiculous. And one of the things that we're going to be pushing next session, because people keep coming to us saying, please do it again. But we're going to try and push, the federal government. The federal government has put forth a testing plan after ESSA passed that said no school, no student should be tested more than 2%, or they shouldn't use more than 2% of the instructional time from a class for testing.
Right.
Now, even at 2%, that's a lot of time dedicate to testing. But even at 2%, it is a huge improvement over what is happening in Georgia and also in Florida. I mean, it is.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere,
It is. And
the kids are in a quandary.
As parents are starting to understand that these tests have nothing to do with their kids, they have nothing to do with their schools. These tests are, in fact, being used as tools to fire teachers and to privatize our schools. We're watching Governor Deal right now. He has legislation sitting on his own desk right now for him to sign that's going to allow him to turn a portion of his office that is dedicated to education into a nonprofit so he can continue to control education in the state of Georgia through a nonprofit that he is going to be setting up. It's absolutely criminal what he's been allowed to do. And parents are starting to see it. Parents are starting to understand that this is not okay, and this is not the school system that they went through.
Well, Meg, the problem with all of this is it's not just education. It's funny that some of the things you're talking about, because I can parallel them to another subject, but of course I'm involved with an effort to try to keep Florida from becoming Miami statewide, because that's what's going on down here. I mean, we've got a governor like Deal. He's probably worse, although Deal's pretty wishy-washy on everything. I mean, he always has been, even when he was in Congress. But Rick Scott down here, he wants, every square inch of Florida just like Miami. That's his goal. and he wants these networks of highways and superhighways and more superhighways and intermodal, you know, trains, you name it, everywhere. And, of course, we're fighting it because, you know, the big draw in Florida, you know, you live down here, the really big draw in Florida is tourism.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody, you know, goes to Bayonne, New Jersey on vacation. Not that I've ever
heard. Not recently,
and
no.
That's what we're doing down here. I mean, and I'm fighting them. We've got a big thing going with the Department of Transportation, which in any state is one of the biggest bureaucratic organizations that's almost impossible to fight. You know, Georgia's the same way. Everywhere is. And, you know, they want to put superhighways through the swamps. So we're fighting them, and we're making some real good progress. But, boy, you've got to have the gumption. You got to be willing to get up early in the morning. You got to be willing to go up there and take the ridicule. And then you've got to get up there and just say what's on your mind. And what you said is absolutely true. When you do that, you may not win the big battle, but you do get respect. Because when they find out you're just an average Joe citizen and you're willing to get involved, you know, that has a lot of power because they wonder, what makes this guy tick? You know, or this lady tick? So, you know, what you're doing I can relate to, and it's so important. And you get, I'm sure you had your great up days and you had your really big down days throughout the whole 3 months because it's just the way the process is.
It is exhausting. It is exhausting. And this is my second time kind of down at the Capitol watching a bill go through. Obviously the first time, you know, that I had helped co-write it, but it is a roller coaster. It is emotionally and physically exhausting because you don't sleep, you don't eat. I don't know how, if you really and truly care about what you're doing as a legislator, it is the most grueling experience I have ever been through. And yes, I will do it again because our kids are worth it. But, you know, the people that are down there day in and day out, and I'm not sure how Florida's legislature runs, but ours only runs for 40 days. So you got to get down there. You got to get the bill in.
Yeah.
You got to get it through. You got to get it. You got to push. You got to push. You got to push. And you're right. They hold these sessions in the middle of the afternoon on a Friday when nobody's available. And, you know, but we had parents step up at the last minute. I mean, we would call them and say, we need you down here in an hour. And boy, they were there. And we have some of the most amazing parents. And it is. That's exactly what it takes. And then we've had a really kind of an explosion of media support finally in the state of Georgia.
Right.
And Georgia opt out has tripled in size, and
you've got over 5,000 on your Facebook page, I see. I mean, at least
it's
really growing.
Yeah,
That's great. We vet every one of them.
We don't allow media, and we don't allow administrators, and we research every person we let on that page.
Well, let me put a plug in for that because, as you know, I'm a member of it, and I enjoy reading it. Every now and then I comment on something, but, of course, I'm not in Georgia. But still, you know, I know that, you know, this process is the same everywhere. You know, little tweaks are different, but every state in the country is dealing with it. But I just really find it interesting. I'll go on there and just start reading it. And the reason I haven't bothered you in the last few months about coming on the show because I knew what you were into and I wanted to wait till it was over. But I've seen the calls on the site where you say, I need people, you know, down to state capitol in an hour and a half. And, you know, and I know what you're going through, you know, because that's what it takes. If they walk into an empty room, it's over. It's over. But if they go in there and they see exasperated parents sitting there that don't have a happy look on their face, it gets their attention because they know you've got to go out of your way to do that, you know. And that can't.
Oh, absolutely.
There were a couple of
committee sessions that we're very, very certain the bill made it through merely because we had 20, 30, 40 people signed up to speak in favor of the bill. And there was no one there to speak against it. So, you know, there were many times when just having that room full made all the difference in the world.
Well, what's so scary today is we have to do this on every issue now. I mean, it's every single issue, it seems like. I mean, it's like it's almost like, you know, they're just up there saying whatever the people want, we want to do the opposite. And it's in the state, it's in the federal government to a large degree. It's just unbelievable. And it's just, you know, it's got to be the fact that, I mean, I hate to keep saying it, but these guys are bought out. They've sold out. They've sold out to the highest bidder. And they're looking after their own interests.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you have organizations like ALEC that are sitting behind closed doors writing legislation that will benefit its members, who are mostly large corporations. And you can watch. You can see these bills drop in multiple states at the same time.
Yep.
It's the exact same bill, exact same language. I mean, it's almost laughable, but nobody calls them on it. Nobody stands up and says, look, this is the same bill that you're dropping in. There were so many this year. I mean, you could literally sit down and read these bills and you would know exactly which ones were written by ALEC or, you know, a group similar to that. I mean, it's going beyond lobbying at this point. At this point, what we have is corporatocracy. If I could say
it is. It's the worst of crony capitalism.
Because
capitalism is dead. Capitalism in America is dead. It's gone. And we've gone to something now, which is, you know, it's we're getting close to full out fascism. I mean, that's really what it is, where the state decides what it wants done, but it doesn't want to own it. It just wants to direct it. And it's done through their minions, the lobbyists, who buy the politicians. It's just the way it happens. So I don't know what we're going to do about it is the problem. I mean, you could fight and fight and fight, but I just don't know. But I know that all of this uproar this year in this election, which is wild, I mean, it's almost insane, but that's what's caused it, because people are looking for something, and they don't know where to look. But they want somebody to just say stop. I really believe that's what all the voters are really asking for.
Absolutely. They know that it's broken, and they're looking to anything that is different. And right now, I think that, you know, the wave behind Trump sees him as something different. They see him as not part of the problem. You know, they don't see him as being attached to what is happening in Washington, D.C., while everyone else seems to have some kind of a tie, some kind of a political tie to D.C. and you know, people want something different. And whether he's right or whether he's wrong for the U.S. remains to be seen. But I'll tell you what,
they're willing to try.
If D.C. doesn't get the message soon, we're gonna have a really big problem on our hands.
Well, we're borderline destruction of the society if this keeps up. I mean, I'm really, and I don't want to sound like a doomsday guy, but I mean, we really are. We're in huge trouble. It's not just here. I mean, look at the rest of the world. What really concerns me the most is this stuff is going on identically everywhere. All of Europe, you know, all of America, it's going on everywhere. And you wonder, you know, what is really pulling the strings here? And that's the scary part. That's the scary point. I don't want
to
get into conspiracy theories, but there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I get concerned about, you know, I get concerned about this stuff with the kids, you know, school. You know, they're miserable. They come home, they're upset. They can't sleep. They're not learning anything. They're just, you know, it's just route step, get this done, and nothing else matters. But then you look at so much else. What's going on? You know, we've lost our soul. I mean, as a society, we really have. You go out.
Absolutely.
Go to the local mall and look at people. They're miserable. Nobody's happy. Nobody is happy.
That's true.
Yeah, nobody laughs anymore. And, you know, and everybody's worried about how they're going to pay their bills tomorrow. And you know, and you go to the grocery store, and every day, you know, you watch the sticker keep ticking up. Everything ticks up except what you take home. And, you know, at some point, there's going to be an explosion. I don't know what that means. But it's obvious that it's out there, because people are just, they're afraid. And all of these things
they're
all work
afraid,
together to do that.
And they're
yeah.
And they're angry. They're afraid and they're angry And I think probably the worst thing about it, James, is that we're so divided. And,
yeah.
I had this discussion with a friend of mine the other day, and that is, you know, as long as we continue to perpetuate the division, the Democrat versus Republican, until we realize that this is really an us versus them situation, we have no power against them. We have absolutely no power as long as we're divided.
Well, you're right, but I see some hope on that. I've seen people that have been taken as pawns by different political organizations are starting to wake up and say, we're tired of this. We don't believe anymore. I mean, that's part of this thing that's going on right now. So, you know, we're just going to have to see it out. But it's scary too, because, you know, you think about back in 1917, Soviet Union, you know, when the Tsar, and you know, they changed things, and boy, did they change them. But it didn't work out quite the way they thought when it happened. That's the problem, you know. Sometimes the change is worse than what you had to begin with. But I almost think we're in a position right now where any change, how can it get a whole lot worse the way we're headed? Because we are, like you say,
you can ask the people in Cuba. They can tell you exactly how it can get worse.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I know. Exactly. You get a tyrannical organization in. I was talking the other day, and I put this up on my I do a little Twitter sometimes, because I advertise these shows on Twitter, and I put a thing up the other day. I said, you know, freedom is very expensive, but tyranny is very cheap. All it costs is a cheap set of chains. And think about that.
Oh, absolutely.
If you give up your freedom. And that's what this is all about. If you give up your freedom, if you give up the right for you to raise your own children, if you give that right up, what you're going to get is little junior is going to be turning you in. Like what happened with...
Well, and that's a trust. And that's exactly,
in Germany,
that's
and happened
exactly
in
how it
years.
Works. You
yep.
are absolutely right. That's
yep.
exactly how it works. And... It already happens. I mean, I already see it in the school systems. And
yep.
you know, if you think for a second that what Common Core is doing is making your child career and college ready,
yeah.
you've got another
There's
thing coming
that,
because it
course.
Is absolutely
yeah.
not what is happening to your child. Your child is learning how to take tests, and that is it. And it's criminal, and if we don't step up and we don't save the kids at this point, we might as well just put those chains on ourselves.
Well, I think you're right, because you know they're the kids of the future, and if they all fall in
absolutely.
Line, we're done. I mean,
absolutely,
it's always been that
and,
way.
And
that's
you know,
why they
I
work
encourage,
so hard at them.
You know, I have people that and you know, I got accused of being the conspiracy person and wearing my tinfoil hat, which now I have several, thank you very much, and I wear them now with pride, because
that's
you know, okay. 99% of what I've been saying is coming true, and
yep.
you know, it's gut-wrenching. You know, I tell every group I ever speak to not to believe me. And to go home and to figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
And I have yet to have one person come back to me and say that I was wrong. And
there's an old Georgia guy who, I know his politics are a little different than yours, but from Atlanta, who talked about that all the time. You remember Neil Bortz, who's retired now?
I remember Neil.
Neil on the radio. Neil said, never believe what I tell you. You got to figure it out for yourself. And then he was, whether you liked him or not, he was very, very honest, and a lot of his stuff came true. Because, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist if you will stop playing the game, if you will get away from the busy stuff and take a few moments and just really start analyzing all this stuff that you see taking place. I think it becomes pretty crystal clear what's going on. Anybody that's willing
oh,
to
absolutely.
Look at it. So, but that's
absolutely.
Important. Well, let me ask you this: where do you head with all this stuff from now? What do you see in the future?
To the beach for a week, I hope.
There you go.
We definitely need a break. We came right off of the Georgia legislative session, straight into testing season. I have an amazing group of moms that help me. They're online 24/7, making sure everybody has the answers that they need and the laws to back up what they want to do. We have had a whole lot more cooperation from the school systems in the Atlanta area this year. The schools in rural Georgia are not as savvy yet, but
right,
I think they're learning.
Course.
We will take the summer and probably go ahead and begin drafting legislation for next year. We want to work on reducing testing even more. I don't think any of the bills that made it to the governor's desk reduced testing in any major way.
Right.
And that was very, very sad to see. We tried, but like I said, you never come out with the same bill you went in with. We had a lot of things that got cut.
Swiss cheese.
I mean, you start with as much as you can and hope for the best. We learned so much. And we had a number of people, Joyce Chandler up in Gwinnett County. God bless her. What an amazing legislator. And you can't say that about many of them. But that woman stood up for the kids over and over and over again.
She is
running. She's got people running against her this May. May 24th is our primary up here in Georgia. And boy, I tell you, anybody that votes against that woman, she is absolutely the most amazing lady. She pulled us out of big mistakes many times, and I am very, very grateful to her. I think we're going to sit down. We're gonna draft some legislation for the next round, and just be ready. We will encourage parents again. Encourage parents to start opting out at the beginning of the school year in the fall, because there's more than just the big spring tests now. They're testing them all year long.
My rule
to any parent is that if the test is not written and graded by your child's teacher, there's no reason for them to take it.
Fair enough. They're just turning the teachers into monitors, aren't they?
Absolutely, and
Basically. That's
the plan.
That is the plan.
We are facing a crisis, really, because there are so many teachers that have had enough. There are so many teachers who recognize the fact that what they are doing in their classroom is abuse. There's really no other way to define what's happening in our classrooms other than abuse. And so there are teachers leaving in mass. I mean, we knew that a lot were leaving last year. This year is going to be ridiculous. The largest school system here in Georgia is advertising over 1,000 openings. Openings in one school system.
That's a lot of teachers.
And the good teachers. It's the good teachers who know what they're doing, who recognize what's happening, and they're leaving.
They're the ones that fight, sure. They're the ones that fight, the good ones, of course.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, we need to put a call out to all those retired teachers, those teachers that are retiring early, those teachers who are leaving. We need you. You know, Georgia is a right-to-work state, so our teachers, we have to protect them while they're still working. But once they've retired, once they've stepped outside, they need to join us and help us fight, because we need those voices. Because the voice has to come from the parents, and it has to come from the retired teachers, because those that are still in the classroom trying to protect our babies can't open their mouths in Georgia without losing their jobs.
No, that's unfortunate, but that's the way it always is. That's the way it always is. Well, wow, you know, this is impressive, and despite the fact that, you know, you get knocked against the wall, you keep coming back, you know. And remember, this thing's a 12-rounder. You've just had the first round.
Well, you're
getting ready to go in the second round. You just finished the first round this year. So you go back in the second round, and you're a lot smarter. You know, you're a lot smarter. You got a couple of new foot movements that somebody taught you in the meantime. But here's the thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you keep coming back at them, it's got power. It's just making sure you have people that have the stamina that can do it. Because I've been through, I mean, I was sick for a month in the middle of all this stuff I've been working on because, you know, I was burning the midnight oil, and I got what started off, I thought it was just a chest cold, and it ended up being a really bad case of bronchitis. I mean, I was on, nebulizers for a while. I thought it was going to go into pneumonia because I got run down. Because emotional rundown is the worst. That's what people don't understand. Physically, you can be in great shape, but stress will run you down worse than anything. So you got to really be careful about that.
And that's what it's doing to our teachers,
get
too.
Up and keep moving.
Our poor teachers are under so much stress right now. Just the sicknesses, the illnesses that they're suffering. And, of course, you know, their stress rolls down on top of the kids. And it's just the kids are getting sick too. I mean, it's just it has to stop. It has to stop. And you know, if not you, then who? So everybody needs to step up.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, and that's just so important. So now you've got a lot of gumption there and a lot of courage, and you've got a lot of friends too. Because I look at the site, and I mean, I can tell, you know, those people really respect what you're doing. And, you know, that helps, you know. If you know you got people that are backing you up, it makes all the difference in the world because it can get real lonely out there. And when you're dealing with these politicians
and all the money that they have. Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you and everyone that has stood behind us and pushed. My partner in crime, Stacey Georgie, honest to God, is the mama bear, the mama bulldog of all mama bear bulldogs. I mean, she is out there. She is fighting for not only her kids, but everybody's kids. And, I don't even have kids in the game anymore. I mean, mine's graduating in 2 weeks and I'm now teaching in a private school that has my back. And, I'm in a phenomenal place and I'm very lucky. But I'm not going anywhere. And we told our legislators this past session that we weren't going anywhere. We were coming back, and we would have another list of kids who were bullied and another list of parents who were bullied because, once again, the state chose not to do anything. And, I'm so grateful to you and to everyone who helps us get the word out to educate these parents and educate the teachers, too, because the teachers are getting lied to just as much as the parents are.
Oh,
and it's heartbreaking.
Of course, it's...
And you know, I will proudly don my tinfoil hat and tell you not to believe me, because once you start digging, you'll find out. And you know, people laugh and say, you know, what party are you from? And I'll be very honest. I started this whole process as a Democrat, and I'm not anything now. I don't want to be labeled as either one anymore.
I think that's not a bad choice. Yeah.
No, they are both so dirty. I have discovered the Green Party, who is the only party out there with a platform that says no to the privatization of our school systems. But other than, you know, outside of that, it's just heartbreaking to watch what's happening. And people still want to play that divisive game, and you know, I sat.
Well, that keeps them in power.
Absolutely.
That keeps them in power.
Absolutely. I sat side by side with Republicans all session long, and I knew that putting any kind of a Democrat on my bill would kill it. So I figured out how to play the game. I mean, and it's a game. You have to figure out who, you know, and like I said, I made mistakes and I won't make them next year. But it's going to take the average Joe or Joanne teacher to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, this is enough, back off of our kids, let our kids learn like they're supposed to learn, let our teachers teach like they're supposed to teach, and just, you know, we have to use our voices, we have to get out there, and we can't be afraid, and we certainly cannot be complacent anymore.
No, no, the time for being complacent is over in America. I mean, it really is, because we're gasping on our last breath in so many ways if we don't wake up. And that's a scary thing to say, but I really believe that. I watch all the trends. You know, I study everything from the economics of, you know, how many goods are coming to America, you know, shipping for purchase. And when I watch the numbers start dropping on that, I watch housing drop. I watch education levels drop. You know, all this stuff drop. There's nothing positive going on. And I'm thinking, you know, you can't keep a society going like this. And, you know, you're gonna implode internally. You know, that's
oh, yeah.
Where we're
headed. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And then you have a stock market that's at some ridiculously high number.
Oh yeah.
That's so inflated and so false. I mean, the amount of false numbers that the country runs on is phenomenal.
Well, the unemployment rates, you know, all this stuff, the jobless rates, the number, you know, there's 93.5 million people that are working age that are not working. You know, and you think about that, and you say, then how can the unemployment go down? Well, because once they stop looking for work, they're no longer on the list. Doesn't matter whether
exactly.
They're employed or not. So, of course that's what happens. So they say the unemployment rate in Florida right now is 4.9%. But what they do is, of course, they count every temporary job, every part-time job, every job with no benefits counts the same as one that, you know, the traditional job. And not only that, but what
right. You've
got is one person holding two or three of them. So
it's
all out of whack. I mean, that's what our governor does. He keeps talking about creating jobs, but all I see is coffee pourers at Starbucks, McDonald's hamburger flippers, and you know, desk clerks. That's all they're creating in Florida. That's what the jobs are creating, because
true.
All the other stuff, you know.
And that's,
yeah, manufacturing's
and that's
being
what,
automated, you know.
But see, that's what Common Core is designed to do. Those are the jobs that Common
mm-hmm.
Core is designed to fill. Is if you look,
yep.
and I'll throw this out to you, and we can talk about this next time you have me on. Take a look at the Jobs 2020 report from Florida, and tell me.
Well, I already have. I know it's coming. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, well, so what's the number one job that's supposed to be available in the state of Georgia the state of Florida in the year 2020? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it's hospitality.
All right, hospitality.
You know,
you know what it is in Georgia? Fast food.
What's that?
So let me tell you.
Yeah.
Exactly,
well, I mean,
what
yeah, sure.
Our kids are being groomed for.
And what do
our
they do?
Kids are
what
being
do they
groomed
do, Matt,
for those jobs.
What do they do when McDonald's automates all of the guys at the counter?
Exactly.
Because it's coming.
Exactly.
It's coming. You know, it's coming. I mean, it's already happening in some places. I mean, it's so absurd, and these guys do that, and they, you know, they. I mean, I get in trouble down here all the time because I'm fighting about, you know, they want to turn Jacksonville into a global port. You know, not to change subject, but it all relates because it's all, you know, global port. It's a river that's 13 miles. The what they call the port is 13 miles in from the coast. It's a very narrow river. It's full of silt. And it's shallow. The natural depth is normally about 12 to 15 feet. Well, they've dredged it to 40. I mean, that's how come it's a port. But they want to get it to 47 because they want to be able to get these, what they call Panamax, you know, these big ships that come from China through the Panama Canal. But it won't work. And so I'm going down there to these meetings just like what you do, and I get up with my numbers. They look, it's not going to happen. And I point out that Charleston's getting ready to dredge to 52 feet. They've already got the naval base. They're going to be able to take these ships. My Lord, the port where I grew up, Hampton Roads, you know, I call it the world's greatest harbor. You know, it's a harbor that's 5 miles wide. It's got all the room for everything. And, of course, they take every ship known to man in there. And they're the only port in America that can take ships up to 55 feet draft. and they look at you like you're crazy. So they'll put all this money in, and they'll do all this stuff, and it'll all fail. And, of course, the governor will be out at his chalet in Colorado after he retires or wherever he's going. I don't know. He's not a Floridian anyway. He'll be gone.
That's all right. And, they'll just blame it on the teachers.
Well, and all the burger flippers will be paying 80% of their pay to pay this stuff off.
That's what happens. And the teachers will get blamed. Because the teachers are blamed for everything now.
Yep. Well, there you go. So, I mean, it's everything. It's just crazy. I mean, we could go on and on for hours on this stuff. But, you know, I'm just really proud of you. I've been following your site.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And you do good work, and you've got a lot of heart, and I know it's rough on you, you know, because it eats at you. It's tough. It's physically demanding. You know, the mental stress is, you know, a mental workout like this is a lot harder than any workout at the gym. You know, it really wears you down. But you hang in there, and you've got some good people following you. I know they're, you know, Cindy Hamilton and people down here. I haven't talked to Cindy in a long time, but she might be listening tonight. I don't know. But, you know, Cindy, she's the same way. You know, she's got a lot of heart. There are a lot of people working hard at this stuff. But it's tough because there's so many people that just don't bother to even look. And that's why this stuff keeps happening, because it takes a really groundswell.
I think there's a lot of people who are trying so desperately just to survive that they just can't take on another fight.
That's very true.
So we will continue. And I'll tell you, I had the opportunity to meet Cindy at the NPE conference just a couple weeks ago up in Raleigh. She is an absolute dynamo, and Florida is so, so lucky to have her. So I was really excited to be able to put a face now with a name and hug on her neck a little bit. She's a really, really great lady. I'm doing great work in Florida, and I'm just tickled to be able to call her a colleague or a peer or a fellow warrior, whatever you want to call
us. Well, it's a little bit of all of that stuff. It's a little bit of all of that stuff, Meg. I'm glad we scheduled this again. Let's do this. It's you've got the summer coming up, and you need a long break. In early fall, let's do it again. And then you'll know where you're going and what's going on, and we'll see what impact things are having and how it's going, and we'll just keep it going because, you know, I think it's important just to follow through. And if in the meantime there's something that you want to bring up, you just let me know anytime. I'll put you on the air anytime you want to come on because
we always get
a good audience, which tells me people are watching. People are listening. You know, they may not be out there in the middle of it all, but they are listening and they care. And that's half the battle, to get that going. And we just got to keep, you know, very little I can do other than my mouth. I'm pretty good at that, though. But, I mean, seriously, it's important that, you know, you just keep this stuff out there in the public domain, whatever way you can. Because the more, you know, I was in advertising for a long time. And, you know, it takes you have to put something up 7 times before people even notice it. So you just keep going and going and going with it, and sooner or later somebody's, the light goes on. Either that or you go out of business.
Well, call me the Energizer Bunny because I'm going to keep putting it up there.
Well, there you go. Well, let's do it. Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on again, and I really appreciate it. Someday I got to meet you. I got to put a face with a name.
Absolutely. We will get together. Matter of fact, I was down in Camden County not too long ago. I should have looked you up.
I'm not too far from. Yeah, if you come down that way sometime, let me know. I'll come up and meet you somewhere. But anyway, that's not far. That's just across the line. But listen, you take care of yourself and have a great summer. Get some rest. Have a little vacation. You know, just kind of chill a little bit. Get away from all this stuff, and you know, get the energy up and the batteries recharged and. Come out charging into the sunset again in the fall because, let me tell you what, as these people see more and more of you, they may not like you, but they'll respect you. And really, that's all you want out of them anyway.
That's all I ask. truly.
Yeah,
that's all I ask.
Yeah, just respect you.
I just, you know, I need them to listen.
These guys are really not. Most of these guys are really not bad people, but they, you know, it's the easy way out when it's handed to them and they just run with it. So it takes somebody to slow that process down a little bit. And you're right about Allie. That organization needs to be exposed for what it is. Because it's, you know, every state legislature gets the same crap and they push it everywhere
sure.
at the same time. That's what's going
Absolutely.
On all over the country. Anyway,
absolutely.
God bless you. God bless you, and you you just hang in there, and I appreciate you, and I know your audience does, and the people up there in Georgia do, and even if the legislature doesn't, I think they realize they got to deal with it. So there you go.
I think they know we're not going anywhere.
All right. Well, listen. You take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch. And if you want to, like I say, if you have a reason. Something you want to get out there sooner, you just holler anytime and let me know and we'll do it. But you take care of yourself and enjoy and get some well-needed rest. And,
I will. Thanks so much, James. I appreciate it.
All righty. You take care of yourself, Meg. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. That was Meg Norris from Georgia, Opt Out Georgia. She's dynamic. She's a hard charger. She's not going to give up. And you parents out there that are listening, don't give up. Get involved, whatever you can do. I know some people can't do a whole lot, but there's so many things going on that we just know aren't right in this country. And Common Core is one of them. And it really needs to be dismantled. Whatever we can do to try to make that happen, it takes small steps to get the big things done, but get involved. And to all you folks down here in Florida, I know that I have some followers on Opt Out Northeast Florida, and also Opt Out Orlando. If Cindy Hamilton or any of you folks want to come on with your twist of the story, please just be in touch with me. I would love to have you on because I think Common Core is one of the top five issues of our time. I really do. What happens to our kids is critical. So, and if you want to get in touch with me about that, you can always go to my website, NorthFloridaWriter.com. I've got a comment page there where you can drop me a line and I'll get back with you. Or you can also do it here on this site, blogtalkradio.com/NorthFloridaWriterLive. There is a place where you can send me comments. But my website's probably better because nobody sees it but me. But I would love to have anybody on with an opt-out organization from anywhere in the United States that has a story to add to what Meg has been talking about, because this is a real travesty, and we really need to do something about it. And I'm just glad we have people like Meg around. Anyway, folks, that's my show for tonight. I'll be back again on Thursday with a new show. I'm working on that now, so it'll be announced on Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page. My name is James Dick. It's also on my Twitter. If you go to Twitter, I'm at InFloridaWriter. That's my Twitter handle. I put it up there, and I put it on Facebook, and I also put it on my blog site, NorthFloridaWriter.com. So we'll get that up, and tomorrow that'll be out. We had a show last night about dogs, because I'm a dog lover. Told a story about a special dog, and if you like animals, you might enjoy that. Just take a look at blogtalkradio.com/NorthFloridaWriterLive, and it'll bring up all of my shows. I leave them on demand, all the way back to when I started this thing. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful evening. God bless you all. Take care of those kids. Do what you can to keep the schools honest, if you can. And we're going to close out asking for a little divine inspiration for the United States of America, our home. Here's Lee Greenwood with God Bless the USA. Good night, everybody. God bless. Have a great evening. Hope you're listening again soon, and see ya.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this.